Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM proudly presents the Rowan Sports Review, a weekly program that brings you up to date on all the exciting news of Rowan University athletics, including recaps and highlights, player and coach interviews, and a preview of upcoming games. And now, here's your host, Rowan Radio Sports Director, Jack Miller.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Rowan Sports Review. For the last time I can say this, I'm your host and WGLS Sports Director, Jack Miller. The new host and new WGLS Sports Director starting this coming Friday. Aiden Dougherty is with me as today's guest, as well as Tom Hill, who's to my right. But, Doc, it's getting kind of surreal that I'm kind of passing the torch to you in kind of 6 days' time. It's going to be a weird change of pace in a week.
Yeah, I know. When you said that, I was like, wow, it is actually in a week.
Yeah.
Time flies when
Rowan Sports are winning.
Yeah, Rowan Sports are winning. And it's actually pretty fun to watch, especially for the softball team. This entire episode, we're going to be breaking down what the softball team has done the past week or so, and then also talk about their upcoming schedule and what the standings look like in the NJAC and how the NJAC tournament could play out. But let's give a quick breakdown of how this past week or so have gone for the softball team for the Profs. They went to Ramapo on Sunday, April 14th, and split the doubleheader there, and they also split another doubleheader on Tuesday at TCNJ. An 0-3 loss to start off the doubleheader for Ramapo, and Riley Lutz did well, but the bats could not get going. But once we got to Emily McCutchen in Game 2, the bats kind of showed up, but in Game 1, Doc, the Profs combined had two hits. You had one from Gracia Kitis and one from Caitlin Riggs, who's been everywhere when it comes to offense for this Profs team. And two hits is not really going to get you too far anywhere unless it's over the wall, but still, that's, you got to start just putting the bat on the ball and trying to put it in play in the best you can. Maybe even if you put it in play, you never know, an error could happen. So
yeah, you never know, right? And I think one thing we've started to see from this team is that their offense can explode at any point, right? And it can, and it's usually exploded in Game 2. But Game 1 is where they've struggled. They've struggled against the team's best ace. I mean, they only scored one run against Stockton, and that was, I believe, the walk-off, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. So they didn't get that until the seventh inning. And then against Ramapo, they got shut out. And then we're going to get to the TCNJ game later, but they only scored two. So they've scored a combined three runs in the last three games of Game 1s against some of the top NJAC teams. So
top NJAC pitchers too.
Yeah, and NJAC pitchers. So they've struggled to really hit these aces. They got to find a different way because they're dominating Game 2s. I mean, they're putting runs up in Game 2. They're able to hit anybody else, but they got to find a way to get to these pitchers, and maybe a different approach is needed, because the same approach for, maybe a team's second-best pitcher should not be your same approach for a team's best pitcher. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing now, maybe more small ball when you're going against an ace, because your goal, especially when Lutz or even McCutchen's on the mound, get 2-3 runs. I mean, 2-3 runs might be all you need. And they just really haven't been able to do that as of recent against teams' top pitchers. So there needs to be some change of approach. There's still a lot of NJAC games to go, but, they've struggled Game 1. And I think that's one thing I've really started to notice over the last three doubleheaders.
Yeah, and Tom, for the ace struggle that the Profs bats have, when you're going against a top pitcher, whether it's in your conference or even in the entire league, that doesn't help you when you struggle against these aces, because the Profs are a very good team, 25-7 on the year, number 14th ranked in all of D3. And when you struggle against an ace, that doesn't help when you are a projected team that's going to do well in the NJAC tournament and potentially have a chance to make regionals and even make a push to where they were last year to the College World Series.
And you're going
to
face aces a lot.
So exactly.
You have to start finding a way to generate offense. And Jack, to your point, and Doc mentioned this too, it almost kind of feels like you're wasting the performances of Riley Lutz. And as great as she's been on the mound this season and pretty much throughout her entire Rowan career, it almost feels like when you don't score runs for her, that start just kind of goes by the wayside, and you don't even really recognize it as, hey, she kept them in the game. They just couldn't score. And to Doc's point, that game against Stockton, the 1-0 win on the walk-off, but Narina Tramp shut them down for the better part of that game. And Marissa DiPaolo against Ramapo, Rowan lost 3-0. And Jack, to your point, they only had 2 base hits. So in terms of what you do differently against an ace, maybe you try to swing big for the fence to try to get doubles, and maybe Kat Thomas brings them in with a big base hit. Because obviously when you're facing tough pitching, you're not going to string 5, 6, 7 hits together or 2, 3 hits in an inning. You do that in the game twos against some lesser pitchers. But when you're facing the opposing team's ace, you might have to see if the top of the lineup, whether it's Melvin or Zara McNair or McCaffrey, could get on. And then the middle of the order with Kat Thomas, Peyton McNair, Caitlin Riggs even, maybe they can swing big and try to just get 2 or get 3. And then when you have 3 runs with Riley Lutz on the mound for you, you feel very great about your chances of coming through in that ballgame.
Yeah, let's talk about game 2 against Ramapo. They won 7-0 with Emily McCutchen on the mound. McCutchen only gave up 1 hit, and the scoring was pounded on by the Profs. In the first inning, they were able to score a run from an RBI single from Kat Thomas. Mackenzie Melvin singled for an RBI, and then McCaffrey also had an RBI single as well. Pawlowski scored 2 in the third, as Melvin also scored 1, but she grounded into a double play, but bases were loaded. And then McNair was able to get an RBI single in the fourth. And, Doc, they were able to go through the whole game. We've seen a lot of mercy rules, as we'll talk about one of their mercy rules later on. But the bats got hot early, but they stayed at that 7-run mark against Ramapo. But also in that game, actually, my fault, Riley Lutz did pitch this game. So Riley Lutz was the one that was able to secure the win in the 7-0 victory over Ramapo. So she actually had some backup from her bats.
Yeah, she did. And she got to pitch game 2 this time. Typically, you know, the game 1 pitcher, she got the bats came alive. I mean, I think that's some of the best parts about playing the doubleheader, right, is that your bats are pretty warm going into game 2 because you just played a game and, you know, you've gotten like at least 3 at-bats, 4 at-bats. You've seen pitches go everywhere around the plate most likely. And then this team in general just scores in bunches. I mean, they will score. If they score early, they're going to keep scoring. I mean, they got 1 in the first, but then they scored 2 in the second, and then they exploded in the third inning for 3, and then they added 1 more in the fourth. So if they just get going, it feels like they kind of just live off each other and just find ways to score. If somebody just gets on and they just keep adding, and I think that's one of the best things about this team, but it's also a struggle because sometimes when – like game 1, if nobody's really getting on, they kind of live off each other's energy and off each other's hot bats. That sometimes can get cold quick, but they can also get hot fast. One of the best teams in the country are getting hot fast in all of D3.
Yeah, Riley Lutz in the first game where they got shut out didn't even get an out. She gave up 2 earned runs with 2 hit-by-pitches and a walk, and then she came out in game 2 because she barely had any pitches under her belt and just dealt, absolutely just brought the filth to the Roadrunners, who topped the NJAC standings. But looking at the final line for Riley Lutz, 6 total innings pitched, only giving up 1 hit, no earned runs, 4 strikeouts, and 3 walks in the 24 batters that she faced. They were able to get behind Lutz, Tom, and we had a lot of multiple hit games from some Profs. Mackenzie Melvin with 2, Liz McCaffrey 2, Paint McNair 3, and Pawlowski with 2 as well, with 2 RBIs. I like seeing Zara McNair in the top of the lineup, but I think there's at some point we might need to see Peyton get that boost back to where Zara was, because we saw her last year at the top of the lineup and she did well, and she's still doing well in the 5-hole spot, but I think her bat needs to be in that 2 spot so the rallies can get going early, quicker rather than later.
That too, and also I think it would really stretch out the lineup if you put Zara McNair in the 8 or 9 hole, Because then you would essentially have your lefty slap bat at the bottom of the lineup to try to get on, and then you have Mackenzie Melvin, Peyton McNair, Liz McCaffrey, Cat Thomas back as that lineup flips over. But I do think this team and the lineup construction has worked for Kim Wilson so far this season.
And she knows what she's doing.
Right, absolutely. I mean, this team 1-9 is just absolutely lethal. They're pitching. Obviously, they don't need to score a ton of runs for Lutz and McCutchen, but when they do, they shorten the games to 5 or 6 innings. And we've seen that a lot this season, although, Jack, to your point, I do think that it has worked with Zara McNair in the two-hole, but I just think it would be an option to put Peyton McNair back in that two-hole, or maybe, you know, move around, put Zara at the 5-hole, or maybe bring her down to 8-9, because it would just change the way the lineup is shaped in terms of player profiling. But I think that is more just an option for Kim Wilson. I don't think she has to really do that to try to steal wins, because it's not like this lineup is stuck or in a rut.
Yeah, I think that you made a good point, but they do value that like 8-9 spot. I mean, last year they had Gracia Kytus there all the time. She did a good job, you know, always got on and had a high average, one of the highest on the teams last year, and still is to this day. But now they have Brianna Bryant hitting in that 9 spot, somebody that used to hit in the top 5. I think she actually hit in the top 3 last year most games, and now they got her at the 9. They value that end of the lineup because they like that turnaround. But to the Peyton McNair point, I do think that in baseball, softball, there's this, you make the lineup and you kind of just make it with the idea that it's going to go through the order once. And you're like, okay, well, in the 5th spot, but all of a sudden, like, the leadoff spot's hitting 3 in the 3rd inning, you know, vice versa, you know, all these different type of combinations. So I do think that moving Peyton McNair up in the lineup could be valuable. I mean, 2nd on the team in average, and she's tied for the team lead in hits, but you kind of don't want that to be a 5 spot, because what if you need that 2 spot in the 7th inning, in the 6th inning, in a big spot? And I think Peyton McNair is somebody that has delivered for them in the past and is delivering for them this year, that you kind of want to give more ABs to. And it could be a deadly combo if you bring back the top 4 of, you know, Melvin, Peyton McNair, Liz McCaffrey, Cat Thomas, and then, you know, obviously Zara McNair can be a fantastic slap hitter in that 8 or 9 spot and be a speedy runner for that power 4 that I just mentioned.
Yeah, I think Peyton McNair being in that 2 spot is going to work out well if they do it. And going to your point of moving Zara to probably the 8 or 9, I would say, yeah, like, even making her 9 isn't even the end of the world. And what's great about that lineup reconstruction that we're talking about is Riggs would get a boost up to the 5 spot. Shakaitis goes up to 6. You see Pulowski and Bryant move up as well, who all kind of deserve it. They deserve a little bit of a lineup boost, but that lineup works well because Riggs is a kind of a gap-to-gap hitter. And also Shakaitis, she's been doing really well with her batting average. So having them at the 5 and 6, it could work out really well. And even with McNair at 2, it's something that you just have to consider if you're Coach Wilson. And hopefully we can potentially see it towards the end of the season, or once we get to the NJAC tournament where the profs are 2nd in the NJAC standings. We're going to touch on the TCNJ doubleheader after this break. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that, and then as well, we're going to talk about the upcoming schedule, the standings, and some potential questions that I have when this NJAC tournament comes up. We'll be right back, right after these messages on the Rowan Sports Review. Welcome back to the Rowan Sports Review. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about the number 14th ranked Rowan softball team and their past doubleheader last weekend, and we're going to move on to the doubleheader they had this past Tuesday against TCNJ on the road. Again, if you're just tuning in, I'm Jack Miller, your host for the final time of the Rowan Sports Review. To my left is Aiden Doherty, your next host starting the next episode, and to my right is a current active guest on the Rowan Sports Review, Tom Hill, and we're going to talk about this doubleheader that they split at TCNJ. Game 1 was a walk-off loss as the Profs fell 3-2 against the Lions, and Mayernick doubled down the left field line and was able to score 2 in the bottom of the 7th for TCNJ and wrap up that game. Only 8 total hits between the two, but as we've talked about in the previous segment, it was ace on ace with Lutz on the mound for the Profs and Goss on the mound for TCNJ. And the Profs were able to get three hits, and Pulowski actually came through in the top of the seventh to make it 2-1 in the top of the seventh after she got on base via the fielding error, and she was able to score two runs. So the bats were there, and then for TCNJ, they were just able to capitalize in the clutch, and they had ice in their veins, and it was just another tough loss for Riley Lutz on her career and on her season this year. Sixth loss, as she's now 10-6 on the season, and six of their losses have been with Riley Lutz on the hill out of their seven, out of their 32. Doing the math real quick in my head, but it's tough to see that, and but it's just an unfortunate event that Marinick was able to double down the line to finish things off. But in game two, they had a revenge tour. They were able to explode with the bats again, and Emily McCutchen was on the hill for the entire time, all five innings, striking out five and only walking one, and she was able to accomplish the 34th Profs no-hitter in all of Rowan history for the softball team. She just pitched a gem, guys, and I got to pose this question to you as we're going to break down the schedule and potentially what the NJAC tournament could be looking like, and I'll pose it to both of you. Who do you trust down the line when the NJAC tournament comes around, even if they make it to the regionals? McCutchen has been on an absolute tear, but Lutz has that one more year of experience, but unfortunately she's just been piling up these losses. Not to her fault for most of them.
Mm-hmm.
She pitches well in most of these games. It's just that they're usually going up against the other ace as well. But who do you trust down the line in the clutch moments when you need a win? Let's say it's game three of the regionals. Who do you trust? Do you go to McCutchen or do you go to Lutz?
I still think I'm going to Lutz. I think it's close. This is a very great problem to have if you're Rowan. I mean, you have two of maybe the best two pitchers in the NJAC conference. And then if you want to go outside of that, they still have two of the top pitchers. I mean, even in all of D3.
Yeah.
And this is a very good problem to have. But I think Lutz has just shown she can do it on the big stage. She has shown that, you know, when the arm is, you know, maybe not at its peak because it's a long season and you're in May, it's hot outside, the ball's flying, she's still been able to get outs very consistently. She's done an amazing job at not allowing big games from other teams, and she's been able to set her offense up for success. But on the other hand, Emily McCutchen has been, I mean, awesome. I mean, there really is no other words to really describe her performance as of late. She's been, you know, otherworldly, and it's tough. I mean, it's a good question. I still think I'm riding with Lutz because you mentioned the experience, and I think that it can be tough for pitchers when you get into May because that shoulder, that arm is, you know, getting a little fatigued. But Lutz showed that when that arm was a little fatigued, she still was the pitcher that she is from early April and until the end of May, still getting the same outs.
And let me read you the stats before you get into your answer, Tom. Looking at Emily McCutchen, she has a 1.16 ERA, just under one whip at .99, 15 wins, only one loss in her 19 appearances, 14 starts for her, 10 complete games, 5 shutouts, and then for Emily McCutchen, she has a 1.52 ERA with a 1.15 whip, 10 wins, 6 losses in her 18 starts. She has 12 complete games and 8 shutouts. You really can't go wrong with the two-headed monster that is kind of an issue, but it's a good issue to have.
Phenomenal issue to have because it's just, which elite pitcher do you turn to when the going gets tough and it's late into the season? You need a win. It's do or die. But to Doc's point, I would also go with Riley Lutz. I think that Lutz has, A, shown she's done it on the big stage. And even though this regular season, McCutchen actually has been the slightly better pitcher, some of these numbers, Lutz has 68 hits given up in 96 and two-thirds innings. McCutchen, 87 hits in 103 innings. So McCutchen has logged slightly more innings than Lutz, but she has given up a lot more hits. And the one thing that I do like about Lutz is the strikeout 98 strikeouts from Lutz. McCutchen this year is only at 69. So even though McCutchen has pitched a lot better in this regular season, and obviously most recently with the no-hitter against TCNJ, I still think I would trust Lutz against big, tough, dangerous lineups, especially these NJAC opponents where these lineups, similar to Rowan, are also deep 1-9. And then when you get into the regionals and the super regionals, and then however far the Rowan Prof team makes it past that, I think I would trust Lutz just to get out. And I wouldn't be shocked if they maybe try to implement something a little unconventional where maybe there is a game where McCutchen looks to be laboring early, and then they'll pitch Lutz the last three, so maybe they'll do 4-3. Or if there is a game where they just blow a team out and one of these pitchers only needs to throw three innings, you could throw Veronica Good for an inning and you're up by so much it may not matter, and then that's going to be huge to save both arms.
Yeah, and once, and if you get the bats going, you could potentially get a mercy rule as well to save the arm, so that might help them out. But let's look at the standings as well as the schedule for the rest of the season for this softball team. They got Rutgers Newark at home, and they're undefeated at home, 10-0, but they're 10-2 in the conference after splitting two doubleheaders this past week. They also have Rutgers Camden on the road on Tuesday, and then they also have Montclair State the following Saturday to finish off the season at home. And all three of those teams are towards the bottom of the NJAC standings. Rutgers Newark, who play later today, starting at 1, they are 3-9 in the conference, 5-21 overall. Rutgers Camden, they're at the 6th spot in the standings. They would just make the NJAC tournament if it started to today. 13-19 overall, 4-8 in the conference with 8 conference points. And then Montclair State's towards the bottom as well, 3-9 in the NJAC, 13-17 overall. Doc, it's a good schedule to have to kind of finish off the season when you look at it.
Yeah, definitely. You got a lot of your tough games out of the way, right? I mean, Stockton's in the rear view, so is Ramapo. And even TCNJ, who's one of the tougher opponents as well, they're all in the rear view. And you kind of have, you know, not necessarily free wins, but Rowan can turn them into free wins, especially with their pitching and their hitting getting hot, especially at the end of April.
Yeah, 4 or 6 out of their games are home, and yeah, you know how dominant they are at home.
Yeah, look, man, I think they're going to finish this season out strong. They do have Ramapo, though, ahead of them and a full game up in conference play, and that's a team who won the NJAC against them last year. They came into Glassboro and stole it from them on a, you know, they eliminated them on a two-run home run walk-off by Rigel. And now, you know, right now it's setting up to, hey, maybe you got to go into their house and maybe you do what they did to you. But, yeah, you know, there's still some games to be played. Ramapo, I'm sure, is playing some tougher opponents as well. 11-1 in conference, I feel like, isn't too sustainable. I think this conference overall is still too good to really, I think, only have one loss throughout the whole year. And it's going to be something to watch because Rowan's kind of going to be scoreboard watching, I think, because I think they're going to settle their games and win pretty easily, and then they're going to just keep checking the Ramapo scores and see if they can get that number one seed. And it's going to be tough, but hey, as long as they really lock up a top two seed, I think you're fine. But you obviously do want to be home for the whole tournament.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Looking at the Ramapo schedule, they play Stockton today, starting at 1 on the road.
That's going to be a big one.
That's good because Stockton's third.
Yeah, so somebody's pretty much getting put out of the picture. Maybe yeah, both of them.
NJCU, they play at home, and then they have a non-conference doubleheader against Mount St. Mary College. So, I mean, their schedule looks good for the Rowan side because they play Stockton, who are 9-3 in the conference, 18-10, and Rowan was able to sweep Stockton out of Glassboro this past season. So yeah, that's good for Rowan's sake. And Tom, it's a little promising for the Profs to have their all their games in the NJAC tournament in Glassboro.
It is. It's going to be big time, especially because of what we've seen so far from them at home. And Jack, back to your Ramapo point, they also close out the year against Kane in Mahwah. So that's at home, but
they do.
Six games against NJAC opponents for Ramapo, and Rowan obviously closes out the year with all NJAC opponents.
And so Kane's good too.
They are. Mm-hmm. And so is Stockton, obviously, with their pitching. and Tramp too. So that could be a loss for Ramapo. I don't think it's going to be a huge deal if the Roman props are the two seed. I don't think they're going to fall any lower than the two. It's just going to be, is the tournament at Rowan the whole time or is it in Ramapo? And I do think that it's big time if you can win out, try to win out, and then maybe hope that one or two slip-ups against Ramapo when you're hosting this entire thing.
Yeah, and also sometimes they usually have a host of it as well, not just based on record. So we'll see who hosts it. And for the profs, they love playing here, so hopefully that they can host a tournament and get some of their Glassboro fans on their side. But any final thoughts, guys, for the Rowan Sports Review? I think the softball team, they're very promising to watch. I mean, you got the best problem to have with the two best pitchers, arguably in the NJAC, maybe even in D3, at a point where you don't know who to put out in one of your most important games, maybe in the NJAC or going down to the regionals, super regionals, College World Series, whatever. And the bats are getting alive in some of the right moments, but they have to remain consistent. But what do you guys think about this softball team? It's very promising to watch them.
Yeah, it is promising. I mean, the pitchers have only grown. I mean, Riley Lutz was dominant last year. Emily McCutcheon was good, but she definitely ticked it up on another level this season, and is continuing to grow. And it's gonna be so hard to beat this team when it comes down to, you know, backs against the wall, because you know you're lucky if you get two or three runs. I mean, and you got to hold back on the Rowan offense from getting 2 to 3 runs. So it's going to be tough, and I think that they can do what they did last year and maybe even more, because they're built for the long run, because now it's not just, you know, Riley Lutz going out there every game and you're really tiring the arm. You have two pitchers you can lean on, and then if the bats just can get going the way they get going, especially a lot of those game twos and those double headers, it's going to be a scary sight.
Tom, quickly, your final thought.
It almost feels like tweaks at this point. It doesn't necessarily feel like you have to make wholesale changes to this team, because as the three of us have mentioned on this lineup 1 through 9, so deep, the two pitchers in Lutz and McCutcheon can give you length, can give you production, and I really do think the sky is the limit, as Doc mentioned. I don't really necessarily see a world in which they slip up in the NJAC. And I think once they pass that, they can just march right towards, I believe it's Virginia this year in June, and play games in the College World Series.
So that's going to do it for the Rowan Sports Review for the final time. Tom Hill to my right, Aiden Dougherty to my left. I'm your host, Jack Miller. Thank you guys for tuning into the Rowan Sports Review, and have a great rest of your Saturday.